The start order is 1-7-4-2-3-9-8-5.
The Extra Lap RC Podcast.
Yes, this is the Extra Lap RC Podcast. My name's Aidan Burke, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend, Martin Owen. How you doing, Martin? Oh, Joey, is Martin not back from Mendip?
Martin is not back from Mendip.
Wow, that's a really bad show, isn't it?
Yeah. They've got a track.
Has he got work on?
Well, they've got to get a track ready, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. National this week, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, then that's no surprise then. Joined by clearly now my best friends, Joey Cockle. How the hell are you doing, Joey?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm great, mate. Did you enjoy making your second regional A final this season?
Absolutely.
Okay, mate. Well, we can talk about Broxtow right after I can tell you all about my experience at the Euros warm-up in Utrecht. So, do you think it's a good idea me talking about that?
Yeah.
Okay, or we could try and find someone else who knows a bit more than me.
Someone a little bit better.
Yeah, probably a bit better. So, by the magic of the internet, hi, Jamie, how are you?
Not bad, guys. I think I'm all recovered from the weekend now, so, yeah, I'm good.
Okay, mate. Wait, did you fly out to Utrecht?
Yeah, we did. We went out on Thursday night because... I mean, Tommy's still at sixth form. He was still at sixth form last week, but he's got his A-levels coming up. So he had some lessons and things, and Dad wanted to work. So we went out on Thursday night, sort of afterwards, and we got to the hotel at around 10 o'clock, and we just quickly went to McDonald's and stuff, and then we were there. We're there on the Friday morning for the practice day.
Okay. Well, you must have gone to a special McDonald's, because every McDonald's we ever went near... only opened at 8 o'clock in the morning and was then shut at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, there was a big queue, so it must have been the only one.
The only one in Utrecht, like, it's good. Yeah. So, you know, all the superstars, you know, your brother, you know, Bruno, Michael was there, I was there, you know, all the top 10 of European races were there. What did you think when you turned up on Friday morning and saw the track?
Well, my first thought was, you know, it's wet and we can only run yellows at the Euros. So
yes, yeah.
So it's going to be interesting because I don't think we've ever ran. We might have done one practice at the Euros at Robin Hood on yellows, but I don't think we've ever ran yellows in the wet other than that. So it was really interesting. I mean, that was the first thing I thought. And then obviously just the size of the track as well. That wall of death at the back is massive. It's just huge. And yeah, just the amount of jumps, the scale of the track, just, yeah, it was pretty eye-opening.
Yeah, I can say the wall of death was like the biggest thing you see when you get there. But it's not, you know, it was the easiest part of the track.
Yeah, you know what I mean? it's flat and it's sort of the same. The whole, you can't, you know, it's what it looks like, if that makes sense. Whereas the rest of the track was quite deceiving and difficult in places.
It was all difficult for me. I'm not very deceiving. It just looked difficult and it was difficult. I think Wall of Death, I think on one of my early practices, I got it so wrong. I was sliding backwards down the Wall of Death.
I rolled on the top of it and rolled the whole way down it. And, like, the marshal had to run, like, 100 metres to go get it.
And I'm going to say, so the last Wall of Death bit was, like, the luckiest fellow there was Max Gotzel, because I thought I was videoing people going over the Wall of Death, and I wasn't. I must have been distracted, because he rolled it down, and then you could just hear them laughing on the rostrum, you know what I mean, as he just, like, cartwheeled down, landed in the net.
I thought I was going to have to carry it off the track in a plastic bag after that, but it was all because they had that netting at the bottom. It survived, yeah. But
yeah, a net and then a sandpit.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, it was practice. Now, the only Euros warm-up I've ever been to was the one at Robin Hood last year. Now, I'm sure when we did that, we practiced in ability-sorted heats. Okay. Yeah. On Friday, Joey, I don't know if I mentioned this, Joe, you saw them. They definitely weren't sorted by ability, were they?
No. I mean, to be fair, though, the track was that big. It didn't really make any difference. But
No.
But, like, yeah, I can't, to be honest, I can't remember what happened at Robin Hood. But, no, they were randomised. But it was actually quite good because you could watch. I thought it was all right because I could watch Tommy and Tommy could watch me and I could watch Bruno and stuff like that. So, I actually didn't mind them being separated, to be honest.
Well, I had Bruno in mine. And we were perfectly fine until he decided to change shell. I think his low grip shell was blue. So, you know, even at the corner of your eye, especially in like a heat I'm normally in, if you're driving around, I'm not expecting someone of Bruno's speed to start catching me. And so it was quite straightforward. And then I think we were all, again, like you said, I don't think the track was so big, he didn't come across people that much. I did get a little love tap from Bruno on the hairpin on the sort of the pave section in the middle. But that's because I thought I was moving out the way, but I just moved straight into his line. because we were doing it obviously differently. He was doing it properly. But yeah, for me, it was an amazing thing. It was amazing to start queuing up with Bruno and then just sort of wander around and go, oh, we had all had a good run. That was brilliant. Had you had any information about Wacko 2000 before you went, or did you just get your normal Astro cars and see what they were doing?
I mean, we basically, we found like the old video on YouTube from like 2 years ago or something of 8 scales going around and stuff. So we could see it was a really big track and obviously had big jumps, but we didn't really know anything else than that. We don't know anyone who's really been before us to talk to. So we went with, I mean, we did the meeting at Mendip the week before and we found what worked at Robin Hood also worked at Mendip. So we thought we'd just try that at Utrecht to start with. But it's quite different. It's quite a different Astro. And obviously with the amount of jumps and things, we found that it did have to be quite different in the end. So we sort of started normal, but then we ended up pretty much changing as much as we could in the end.
And during that practice day, there was literally no time to change anything.
And even during the race day, to be honest, that was one of the biggest problems we had, is there was four heats and no break between them most of the time. So you literally had, after you'd marshalled heat two, after you'd marshalled heat one, you had heat two to sit there, and then by heat three, you were going up to the track. So that was one of the most annoying things, to be honest, from where we were, is we wanted to change things, like we wanted to change pistons and stuff, but there was just no way we could do it. So
yeah,
it was hard. We changed what we could, but we sort of got somewhere near in the end, I think.
Okay, you might not be sharing your in-depth team associated secrets, like, but the only thing I sort of went to look, I think I saw Michael's car go round and I'm like, it looks like a monster truck. I've never seen a two-wheel drive so high off the ground. I think they were like 20-23 at the back, especially when it was wet because we were on yellows. Were you like that kind of ride height?
I think ours was around 20. We sort of started with what we would normally run in the wet, and again quickly realized that yellows have nowhere near as much grip as silvers, so we started changing everything again. So the car, I think it ended up around 20, something like that, but we ended up just shortening the wheelbase a lot, which I think everyone was doing, and things like that, softening it off more than you normally would and whatever.
Okay. And then how did you find your two-wheel drive around those big jumps.
I mean, to be honest, I don't think it was at the point where I don't think the car would have made much difference on the jumps. It was just you had to hit the right line, and if you missed the line, no matter how your car was set up, you were probably going off the track. So the main thing was really just learning the track, I think, this weekend. I mean, obviously, it's useful for setup and stuff, but I think actually the most important thing for this Euros is just sort of actually being used to the track and knowing where to put your car, because the faces of them are very sort of different as you go across them. So you need to hit the same spot every time, because they send you a very different distance and send your car on a very different angle depending on where you hit them. So it's basically just learning what spot to hit and how hard to hit them, pretty much, was the main thing with the jumps that I found.
So in that sort of mixed up practice on Friday, were you just watching other people going, are you good enough to go, I think I'm going to have to hit it here? Is it that, or are you watching other people go, well, no, not over there, that doesn't work. Aiden's gone into the wall. Miklos has gone into the bush, then the wall. Let's not hit that. What are you trying to do?
Yeah, I mean, definitely to start with, when we got there, obviously I could see that who was quick was Michael and obviously Wesley, because Wesley's, I think, lives somewhere near and he's done a few laps around there. So to start with, I was just watching Wesley to try and see where he was going, where he was hitting on the jumps. And then when you're on the track, it's basically just trial and error. It's you hit the jump and you fly off the track and you think, oh, I probably shouldn't hit it there the next lap.
Right.
So, it's I can't look at the jumps and go, oh yeah, I've got to hit it there. To me, it just looks like, you know, sort of bumps all over them, it looked like. And it just seemed like when you were going around, certain lines worked and certain didn't. So I couldn't really tell just from looking at them where I wanted to hit them. But yeah, I was basically just watching who was quick. And just basically trial and error when you go around, find out what spots worked and what didn't.
So do you feel like the practice that we did, however busy that was, and like, who, and at the end of the two-wheel drive day on Saturday, you've learned a lot?
I think so, yeah. I think we've certainly come back with a lot of ideas, and well, now we've had time to digest it, if you know what I mean. We've sort of thought, well, maybe we could have done that. So I think we have learned quite a lot, even though we couldn't change a huge amount. I think, to be honest as well, like I've said, this track being so unique, I think just understanding the track and sort of having the track knowledge is probably the most important thing. But yeah, with the cars, I think we kind of had some ideas. And I think, you know, we'll know now for the Euros what we should probably change and, yeah, how we should turn up.
Yeah, work out. And then, like, if you were in our Airbnb, me, Miklos and Mark on Saturday, we were quite positive. We just thought, well, Saturday night, you know, we're thinking two-wheel drive was difficult because, you know, you definitely had to hit the jumps in the right places and things along those. But we thought four-wheel drive, it's not a problem. It's not a problem. We've got all the power. We've got all the drive. We'll just be able to clear that. I thought four-wheel drive was harder.
I mean, it was, because it wasn't just... The thing with two-wheel drive is most of the jumps were just full power.
Yes.
So, you know, yes. When it's full power, it's all right. But when you've got to be like three quarters on the trigger or something like that, it can be harder. And I think that's the other thing. The thing with the jumps as well is you had to... It wasn't just where you hit them, it was how far you jumped as well. Because like on the left side of the track, if you jump too far, then you couldn't make the second one and your car kind of bounced weird. You had to land in the right spot. And I think almost four-wheel with more power, it can seem harder to land, to put it in the right spot in the first place. So it, that's the thing. I think it wasn't really about power on the jumps. It was more just, you know, it was just how easy they were to line up and land and stuff. So that's probably why four-wheel... Yeah, it did seem, especially on the left side, four-wheel, I thought, was definitely harder.
Yes, yes.
And maybe, but then the other thing is you're doing the jumps differently. Like the single double we were doing in four-wheel, in two-wheel we were double single in that jump. So there's kind of different lines on the jumps as well between the two classes.
Okay, but it's one of those sort of like mix up things that no matter what the track's like the kind of same people who you'd be, idiots like me would think would be in the top heat or the A main, they weren't you? There was no massive surprise. There was like what I think there was one local quick guy in the two and four wheel drive. You guys all about figured it all out and sorted out where you were.
Yeah, I think we got there eventually. Obviously, some of us were, you know, quicker to get used to it than others. But I think it's just down to experience in the end. We've all sort of been to a track that's, or a lot of them have probably been to a track that's sort of similar previously. So you sort of get an idea of maybe what you need to do from tracks you've been at in the past. And you're sort of going, oh, maybe that worked there. And you kind of just, and also a lot of us have raced 8 scale as well, and the track was very 8 scale to drive around, and I think that helped, because it actually felt like we were just doing 8 scale at times. I thought it felt similar to driving 8 scale.
Yeah, because there was like some of like the little quads. It looked like you just threw it at it and just see what happens, like throw it at it. And then I think Chris was saying to me, just throw that in, just send that as hard as you can. And then as soon as the buggy lands, just slam the brake on and see what happens, and then just drive away. You know, we're trying to be nice and smooth and on power and all these things. And it was just sort of survive.
It was. It did feel very much like, I remember how I would drive the 8th car last year when we were doing the 8th Nationals, and it felt like I was doing all the same things on the controller that I was doing when I was doing 8 scale. So I don't know. I think that's probably why a lot of us maybe got used to it quite quickly. But yeah, I don't know. I guess it's just experience and stuff for how we got there.
Have you? I was thinking on the way home. Are you superstars like Googling 8th Astro track in the UK to maybe get some practice in?
We have considered it. We've already thought of all the 8th tracks on Astro that we've been to before and thought which ones were similar. So it's very possible. We probably will go to like maybe Endor or Deerdale or something and have a go around.
And just smash it off the big jumps and just like, because that was like it. I always enjoy these meetings where these people are. It's, I'm going to say it's the first like big, because it was so small, you know, I'm in the bottom heat then in the bottom final. So I quite enjoyed like sitting there and going, oh, it's fine. Tommy and Jamie will be marshalling me. You know, I think in one of two wheel drive, I think Martin Bayer was on 0.4 at the end of the big jump right at the back.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling he walked onto one of his finals with like a drink. You know what I mean? And he put it on the wall. And I think I hit the wall. Someone else hit the chair, because we had to just fully keep sending these cars over. And like, I don't know if these guys have been so scared in their lives. I think also a lot of the local guys were 8th drivers, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. I found it a really hard track to marshal as well, because it was just, you know, like you've got the cars coming at you off a jump, and the last thing you want to do is go on the track and like get hit by one. But then at the same time, there's a car sat there on its roof, so it's like I found it really hard to marshal.
So, I was quite lucky. I think I was like around by the doubles on the left hand side. Or 1.1. I think they were quite straightforward. But yeah, if you were at the back, you had to run straight at cars coming at your head. You're going to have a great Euros. What did you think of the sort of space around? The car parking wasn't great, but there was plenty of undercover pitting, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was a pretty good undercover pitting area. So that was good when the thunderstorm came on whatever night it was. It was that Friday night, that thunderstorm?
Yeah, I put my chair on and it was soaked. So
just after it finished and we were packing everything away. But it was good. And they found enough chairs eventually. So,
oh God, chairs. Yeah, buy big chairs, people. Joey, have you got any big chairs, tall chairs?
In what sense?
Oh, they're like European, I'm going to call them like European nitro tables. If I sit on my chair, I can just about rest my nose on the table.
Oh, great. So for someone like me, that's going to be...
Yeah, you might need quite a tall chair. I don't know where Michael stole his from. It looked like he got it from like a Hawaiian bar or something.
When we got there on Friday, we were like some of the first there, and there was just a chair like under the table, like sort of near where we were putting. So I went and got it, and when Michael got there, he said that was his chair. So I think that must have been where he was sitting the day before. And then he went off, and he found some like wooden chair. It was the funniest looking thing I've ever seen.
Yes.
And he sat on it all weekend.
But if you're drinking that much green tea, maybe you need a wooden chair. If people look at the pictures, the places where we were sat, the on-road covered pitting was just as big, and maybe like another minute down the path. So there'd be plenty of space for everyone at the Euros. The facilities, you know, it was a big clubhouse. The coffee and tea was great. I think you have to be careful because they don't ask for money. They just tick a little sheet off.
Oh yeah, it was on a tab, wasn't it?
It was on a tab.
But yeah, it was a really good place, really. I think it's, you know, perfectly fine to have a Euros probably. So yeah, it was a good place.
There was a good group of people.
Everyone's really nice. Everything's all set up well. Yeah. So yeah, I think it's pretty good.
Okay. And then so Euros warm up. Are you all prepped for this weekend then? Do you go to Mendip?
No, not yet, but I think Dad's probably down there spannering on Tommy's cars now, and I've got time now since I've finished uni for this year.
Right.
So I've got time in the day to sort the car out. So we should be all right. We should be fine for Mendip.
Okay. And then have you got anything else exciting coming up?
Well, it's pretty much just nationals for us this year. Obviously, we've got the Worlds later in the year as well in Arizona. So that should be a really interesting one.
Okay, but you're not doing any eighth?
No, we're not doing Nitro this year. I think just because as well, it's Tommy's exam year, and I think it's a pretty busy year for Dad at work as well. So we just decided this year that we'll just focus on 10th for a bit. And we'll probably go back to 8th at some point, but for now, I think we're just gonna keep with the 10th scale.
Yeah, let's see what the scrutineering's like at the Euros. You might be able to get your RC 8.4. That was a good one, wasn't it? RC 8.4 through scrutineering. Like for the 10th Euros, and I'm not being funny, you'll probably smash it then.
I mean, the jumps are definitely 8 scale size, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they were fine. And I like, you probably weren't watching, but if you watched like the locals in my finals and my heats, because they were all 8th guys, they literally just smash it towards a corner, stop fully, crawl around the corner because the car like 27 millimeters off the ground, and then just full send it into the next jump.
Yeah,
that's what caused all our carnage. They would just like slam their brakes on before they got to the corner, just pot around, and then the way off they were going. But yeah, it was good. We enjoyed it. So with that bit of, I know you didn't have much time to do much changes or try other things, but like, will you be sort of circulating in your setup sheets? Are we going to see another YouTube video? Are we going to see a Facebook post to sort of give some other people, some associated drivers and anybody else going the Euro, some ideas of what they might be looking for?
We might do one before the Euros of what we're going with. Probably end up on CML if we do. Okay. But I think at the minute we're still kind of like thinking about it, if you know what I mean, and digesting what we've learned. So I think once, like maybe before the Euros, we figure out what we're doing, we might do a setup sheet then. And yeah, like I say, I'll send it to CML, and it'll be on their website.
Okay, mate, you're a superstar. And Have you got any more YouTube, before we very quickly let you go, have you got any more YouTube videos in the works?
I haven't recorded another one yet, but I'm going to do one on speedo settings at some point, because we've got the new 610R out now from Reedy, so I'm going to do a speedo settings one at some point. Sort of go over the speedo settings and stuff on there, and I'll try and keep doing them. I was going to try and do like maybe one every 2 weeks or something now, or maybe one every week now I'm off uni, but it just sort of hasn't. It hasn't happened. Well, yeah.
If we get one a month while you're off uni, that'll be great. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Any less than that, I'll come back off after you. Okay. We'll start sending some abusive messages, get some more videos. Maybe you can start a YouTube war with somebody else. Which you clearly won, because you're clearly right. And, you know, it was great to catch up with you, your mom, your dad, and your brother while we were all in Utrecht. It was a good little group. Everyone seemed to enjoy themselves.
Yeah, it was fun.
And there was a lot of fun. Well, I'm going to say it wasn't fun on Friday for me. Honestly, I've never been so busy in my life at an RC meeting.
It was a shock to the system. It was like everything at once. It was like we're on a massive track like we're not used to. We're on yellows in the wet. Like it was just like thrown in at the deep end, like of everything we're sort of not used to.
But, and then because I'm an idiot, I just kept still trying to queue up 5 minutes before we race, which gave me even less time. I'd be sat there going, "Where's everybody?" Because they'd be doing stuff in the pits, put the new set of tyres on or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, we should say that, because that's one of the questions. How did you find tyre work in the dry? Was it okay? Did you use many sets?
It was really good, actually. It was really good. I think we used two sets on the race days when it was dry for the whole meeting, but that was three legs as well. And we could have used one. We easily could have used one. But because we actually thought the new tyres were, well, we weren't sure on new tyres. They definitely didn't seem to be a big benefit. So, yeah, that was really good. The tyre wear was brilliant.
Yeah, I was on, I think, for four-wheel drive, I just put a new set of tyres on in the morning and then did everything on the same thing. And I wasn't lacking at the end of the, you know, I wasn't missing those jumps because of a lack of drive or anything along those bits.
No, so it should be. That should be good for the Euros. You can probably do at the Euros when you've got maybe five runs a day or something. You can probably just set a day and you'll be good.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine. And that was, sorry, the other one was like at the end of two wheel drive, or it stopped raining earlier in the morning on Saturday, and then I thought, well, it's finals. I'll throw a set of tyres on, and it felt like the track just got bumpier.
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, a lot of people said when they put new tyres on, they weren't, like, you know, they weren't sure about it. So I never put new on and thought, oh, these are horrible. But there was, you know, people were sort of saying, not sure about new tyres. So it might have been a thing. Maybe you need a little bit of the corners to go so you're not grabbing the bumps and stuff. Perhaps. I'm not sure.
Oh, I'm not being funny. It sounds better than it just got bumped. Yeah, maybe the new tyres were grabbing the bumps. But they were the bits I was like, I was thought, well, by the end of two-wheel drive qualifying, I felt okay for me. And then I put new tyres on. I just thought it was just really difficult from then on.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm not being funny. You've got plenty of, you've got a month or two to figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay, mate. Thanks very much for your time. Give Tommy all best wishes for his exams. Don't you take up electric guitar in the next couple of weeks to just try and keep him up late at night or anything along those lines. And then, you know, guys, go and enjoy your summer. Have a great weekend. But before we let you go, would you like to go and thank your sponsors and all the people who were nice to you?
Yeah, I'd like to thank Team Associated, Reedy, Factory Team, CML, Rudog, FF Racing, and Rude Bits Cheater Foams, and obviously Mum and Dad for everything they do for us.
Yeah, and they do a lot for all of us.
They do.
And kept us all well behaved. You are a superstar, Jamie. Thanks very much for your time. Thanks for the update. And we'll speak to you again soon. Cheers, mate. Bye now.
Cheers. Thanks. See ya.
Cheers, dude.
Well, that was great speaking to Jamie Hall. Probably a better idea speaking to him about the Euros warm-up in Utrecht at Racco 2000. I've got a slight feeling other people have already heard me talk about my actual, I'm going to say, holiday with Miklos and Mark. So we don't need to do anything like that. We can move straight on to Joey's domination of the Mideast region. But it is important for us to thank Scott from Action RC, who joined us the other week and, you know, as reinforced his hashtag Team Joey or Team Joel credentials. And has then this week spoken to Jamie Booth and Ben Panic, coming straight from Silver State. There's a couple of good episodes of Action RC to check out. I have a feeling the episode of Grid Talk this week will be terrible. But we'll find out. Joey.
Is that why Martin's not here? Is he secretly on there?
Oh my God, wouldn't that be amazing? If he's ditched us, told us some lies about having to sort Mendip out for the National, and he's helping those two others with their podcast. That would be the ultimate betrayal.
Disgusting.
But mate, people have just put up with Jamie Hall for the last 30 minutes because they're just going to wait to hear every individual detail about your second regional A final of this year. You went to Broxtowe, didn't you?
Yeah, it's good to be back at Broxtowe. I haven't obviously been there probably since before COVID.
Was it the threes, fours and fives?
No, I've had meetings before, after them.
Right, okay. I've had
some winter series meetings and stuff there before COVID had started. So, but no, it's good to get. But I like Broxtowe. I know people have mixed feelings about the track, but I quite enjoy it.
It's small, but it's action packed.
Yeah, it's a healthy amount of features.
Yeah.
You know, we go to some tracks and you've got absolutely nothing. You go to some tracks and you've got everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's healthy. So the features are also quite... they make you think a little bit, and they catch you out if you're not on your toes.
Like the wedding cake type, that's what I call thing in the middle.
Or the fondant fancy, as Mr. Tom Yardy calls it.
It is like a fond, like you're going off camber up a hill.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that's a nice one.
It's a beautiful, and then it does generally produce a line, doesn't it? Because last time I was there, there was quite a bit of sand on it, and you push that off and there's loads of grip on the line and it just gets a bit sandy and dusty afterwards.
Yeah.
Was it a two-wheel drive or four-wheel drive regional or both?
It was two-wheel drive on the Saturday. It was four-wheel drive on the Sunday.
Oh.
But I didn't do two-wheel drive.
Okay, you just did four.
Yeah.
Okay. So, nice and sunny when you got there?
It was not sunny, but it wasn't cold.
Okay.
I mean, we pitted out the back of Dad's car, so it was all good. Weather held up nicely all day.
Were you on yellows all day?
Yeah. I mean, I did have my silvers out because the track was quite... It was not wet, but it was dewy in the morning. So I did have silvers ready to go, but we didn't need them in the end.
What was your choice of tyre for four-wheel drive? Front?
Mezzos.
Mezzos?
Mm-hmm.
How many things were you cutting off?
Did two on the outside, one on the inside.
Okay. Nice.
It's kind of... I know what it's likely to do with that setting, so...
That's what you mean, like.
It's just my personal preference. It's what I had ran at Sheffield Possibly Robin Hood National, but may have varied with that one.
Okay, and what about glue in sidewalls?
I didn't actually. I ran non-glued sidewalls. Still found it easy to drive. So, some tracks the gluing of the sidewalls will favour, and others not so much. So,
okay. If you had asked me on Saturday night, I would have suggested that four-wheel drive front mezzos should be banned everywhere.
Oh,
because that's the I always run Fusions or Fusion 2s everywhere. And so that's the first time we actually had to sit round and just clip pins off. Just awful. Just an awful way of spending time.
Fusions aren't that great at Broxter because obviously the sand comes up when it gets a bit warm. And Fusions don't offer a lot of steering in the sand, so.
Oh, okay. My knowledge of four-wheel drive, it was just based on time I had to spend cutting pins off things rather than performance.
That's easy.
It's not. It was not, mate. I literally would have. Like, I'm not being funny. The Airbnb, I'm half expecting my Airbnb review to come back with, three lovely lads, all had a great time, but why is there a lot of rubber pins on the floor of the living room?
What's all this black stuff?
What's all this black stuff? I'm not being funny. I did it that sat outside in the garden. And then the rest of them were like cutting tires and bags. But anyway, Broxtow, regional, is it one practice in Mid East?
No, we had two.
Nice. Two practices. Did you make any changes?
Initially, no. I started with the setup I had from Sheffield, which was absolutely fine.
Okay.
For round one, I had made a slight change. I moved the battery back.
Oh, right. Why?
Because the rear end was too loose.
Wow.
So I was just knocking the battery back helped it sort of settle down a little bit more.
Awesome.
And then I just put new tyres on, I think round four.
Okay.
So yeah. Battery position change and tyres.
That's all.
For the day.
Sounds awesome, mate. Well done. And so how did you, feel confident straight away? There's a couple of, I know the Mideast has had a bit of a change. Some drivers have gone north and some drivers have gone south. But there's still a couple of really quick guys there. But like, do you remember what your round scores were? Were you always in the air?
I was Mr. Consistent all day long. So, I always, knowing the likes of Smithy and Thompson, etc., aren't doing our region this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, they've gone elsewhere. Usually making the A final when they were about was tough.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's easy to do now. You know, things don't always pan out on the day. You know, things break, etc. But obviously, it's a good opportunity to pick up the points towards get my F2 back for the year. So my round scores were, like I said, super consistent. I had a 6
mm-hmm.
in round 1, a 7 in round 2, a 6 in round 3, and a 5 in round 4.
Wow. Okay.
But that round 4 should have been a 3, but.
But what?
I was going around. I somehow I hadn't been able to make William Goodwin and Aaron and the other boys had sort of easily made 18 laps for the day.
Yeah.
And I was there or thereabouts, but in round 4 I was on it. And I'd taken the same line over the three little humps. The same as I had done all day, but prior to me doing that particular lap, Mr. Simon Smith was refereeing, and I'd asked the marshal to fix the corner, and the corner was in my now line, and I landed on top of it and popped a ball joint.
Oh no!
Yeah, I could feel and see Dad sort of sat at the corner of the track going, oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, God.
Not in a...
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
But it was just,
What a total Joey Cockle.
No, well, it wasn't so much that. It was just, why not happen now? I mean, it didn't cost me that much, but it was still irritating not to get.
Oh, sorry, what did you say? You popped a.
Popped the steering link.
Oh, did you? And who? Someone just done the master just popped that back on.
Yeah, I'll give it the master the due. He popped it back on. I didn't lose overall that much time. I dropped off the 18 laps, but it didn't cost me anything major to change my position at final. So
that happened to me over the weekend, right? And then I could see the turnbuckle on the track. So as the marshal goes to pick me car up, I drive it back towards me towards me turnbuckle. You know, so was the marshal. It was Gottsall. It was actually Gottsall. Gottsall was like, why is this car running? So he had to run after me car. And then when he got there, he was like, I found it. But, Max Gottsall's a lovely young fella. Speaks great English. I'm sure we'll catch up with him soon. But he must have girly soft hands, mate, because it took him ages to put my turnbuckle back on.
Schumacher turnbuckles are very hard on the fingers.
Well, yeah, Max Gottsall will can approve. So I don't think he's joining us because, we had a good laugh. It was lovely. So, right, mate. So you've got there. I think that's another advert for another podcast. Last week's Grid Talk podcast was Dan Cooper at the Midwest Region at Southport. And he said something what you've just said. He's like, normally in the Midwest, Tommy and Jamie are there, and they're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that makes it. Some people might say that's easier to get into that.
The Midwest is a very hard region to do anyway.
It is. But just because some people are there, that means other people think there's opportunities. You've still got to do it. You know, I would be mean to you if I had the chance, right?
Oh yeah.
But that's the point. There was probably seven of other people there who thought. Or was a good chance of making the A, who try a bit harder, who maybe throw another set of tyres on, thinking that's going to help them. So, you know, to make the A, mate, in both those regionals, you know, quite, not comfortably, but quite comfortably, haven't you? Do you know what I mean?
It's been top five both times. So.
Yeah. So,
like I said, that's what I was aiming for the beginning of the day. I've always said top five. Is doable.
Okay, and are any of the people above you in that region, four-wheel drive region, are any of them doing nationals?
William Goodwin and Aaron Nash are both doing nationals.
Are they likely to get F1s after? I don't really know. Goodwin, I don't think I've ever met Goodwin or Nash.
Are they
youngish lads?
Yeah, William and Aaron are both young.
Okay.
Aaron, I think, is 16 and William's still under 16.
Right, okay. So they might have a chance of getting F2Ns and F1s maybe.
Yeah, so because obviously come the end of the season when obviously the nationals are done and the regionals are all decided, obviously F1s and F2Ns are removed from regional, not removed from the regional championship, I mean, they're just removed from when it comes to sorting out the F graders and stuff.
Yep.
So it's kind of obviously hoping that those two pull their finger out and get their F2Ns at nationals. But it's all on me, really. It's not, I can't rely on anybody else. It's all down to me.
Okay. Well done, mate. So I was super proud, mate. Super proud.
Thank you.
There is when you take put a picture on Facebook, mate. You can crop it. I don't need to know the time and how much is in your battery of your phone.
Nah, everybody does.
No, they don't. And also, I'd like the picture of your car to be first and then the pictures of the results. Okay?
Just be glad I'm doing it at all.
Well, yeah, no. So, but now you've done that, you're not getting any positive thoughts for that, mate. So you're going to put your car first. then results, edit, crop. I don't need to know what time that is, how, you know, what mobile phone provider you're currently using, or how much is in your battery. So can people please crop them out, and then we put those pictures in? That would be good. And then I don't know if you spoke about this before, we pressed before, but you're going to Mendip as well, of course.
Yes, I'll be there.
More importantly, is your dad going?
Of course.
Right, are you going with your dad?
Yeah. I'm staying at his house on Thursday night because I have Friday off. But he didn't book Friday off, so. And then we'll travel down when he finishes work.
Nice. In the bongo?
Yes. Yeah. Trusty bongo.
Trusty bongo. Mate, you'll have a great time. The forecast looks okay this weekend, doesn't it?
I'd like to for it to stay that way. I'd like to do a complete national series again this year with no rain or anything.
Yeah, we'll book some rain for round four, mate.
If it rains at Southport, they never have a national ever again.
Well, it's not being funny. With it being that busy, we could probably do with a break. You know us. So that's good. So is that your thing? So four-wheel drive regionals, is that what you do? You're not going to do any two-wheel drive ones?
I was looking at doing the one at BMR, but the BMR regional is actually the weekend that we all leave for the Euros.
Right, okay.
So it's kind of... But then Smithy was like, just go and do the regional and, you know, just drive to the Euros afterwards. I'm like, you know, it's probably not going to work that way, but...
Okay. Holland's lovely, mate. Absolutely, you know, spotlessly clean. Roads are great. Nice and quiet. There's like a supermarket at the end of the road, of the track. It's lovely. You'll all have a great time. Even though it rained in the morning, it was like 24, 25 degrees. And everyone just really enjoyed themselves with a great group of people from Racco 2000 who, again, just worked hard on. And that's all you can really do, mate, work hard. Mm-hmm. That's probably enough for us, mate. I'm not being funny. If Martin sacks us off for the grid talk without telling us, that's going to be horrific next week. But we'll probably get over it. That's probably it, mate. That'll be sorted. We've said thank you very much for Jamie to come on and give us some sort of help and advice regarding how for people going the Euros this year at Racco 2000 in Utrecht. It's been great last week to speak to Scott from Action RC and listen to all the things that they do. It's been great. When I was in Holland, mate, you would love it, mate. You would love it. Some fella, like, I think it was four-wheel drive. I can't remember his name, but he's the guy who's built his own single-belt four-wheel drive car. So it's a four-wheel drive car with a single belt. I don't know anything else more than that. But he was like about like an hour or 2 hours into the day, he just turned around to me and goes, "Are you on one of those podcasts?" And I'm like, yeah. "Because you sound familiar." I'm like, yeah. And he went, "Yeah." And then I just leant over to him, "Yes, my name's Joey Cockle. Nice to meet you."
Wow.
He was astounded. And the fella next to me, Arthur, was saying, "Oh, what's your track like?" And I go, "Southport." And he's like, Southport. "Oh, I've seen those on videos." And he was talking about Paul Fulton RC's YouTube video. So it's all really good. We all had a great time. It was great spending time with my friend Mark Gregory and my friend Miklos. It was really just like a holiday for us. Obviously, there's a bit more pressure on Miklos because he's been to the warm-up event, so he should be better at the Euros. And it was great to see Mark Gregory. I think he's still in the UK and doing a bit of work before he flies home. Joey, because I never do it, I'm going to thank my sponsors. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
I'd like to thank the hashtag Schumacher family. This week, I'd like to especially thank Triss. for all the help and advice he gave us in at Racco 2000 this weekend. I'd like to thank TQ Models for all the things they do. I'd like to thank Vic's Paints for sorting out my excellent shells. There's another batch coming, Vic and Matthew and Caden. I'm going to go for RC House of Doomy Stickers, for Clinic RC for any fancy things, for Composite Kit, for one, making the best hat and sponsoring our RC podcast. We forgot about that last week, mate. So, like, Composite Kit, www.compositekit.com. I don't even know if it's .co.uk. I think it's .co.uk. But if you put an Extra Lap RC podcast, you'll get a very small discount. Not that you should have a discount. It's Kit Jones. We should just be happy to pay more. I can't remember. I'd go Core RC. I think that's it. Hashtag always sunny Southport. Joey, have a great weekend at Mendip.
Thank you very much. Will do.
Everybody else, have some great racing. If you're on a national, safe travels. And we will see you all next week. Bye now.
Goodbye.
Cheers, mate. Awesome. Well done.
Right. I need to go way too sex.
No sweat.